this day. Thank you that Rosie was able to go home and that you've given her health. Just continue to touch her body now. Help it to recover from this long illness that she had. We think also today of Joey's grandson, Lord, with this tumor on his spine, Lord, very serious situation. Pray that they would be able to go to the right place to get help in this time. Think of Maynard Cash, Lord, with lung cancer and it looks like maybe in the final stages of life. Pray that you'd minister in that family and really help them at this time. For Amy, as she has surgery scheduled for Friday, we pray that they'd be able to help her back problems and, Lord, just guide and direct in that. We thank you she's with us here today. Think of Barbara Buchanan's mother with this heart attack today, and we pray you give the Buchanan safety as they travel that direction and give the doctors wisdom as they treat Ms. Boyer. And think of Mike Hicks there in the hospital, don't really know what the need is, maybe heart problems, but I pray you'd touch him. And for Robin, Lord, with some serious physical problems, we pray that you just minister her life and encourage her and help her today. Think of Conley, Todd's uncle, very serious sickness and doesn't look real good. We pray that you would just help that family also. And for Mason, this newborn that needs a touch also, Lord, lots and lots of needs here. And we pray that you just really minister to folks and help them as only you can, I pray. Now bless our time this morning as we teach and study your word. May you speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word to make us what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Very good. I see Tyler over here also. Good to see you, sir, visiting back with us. Colossians chapter 4 this morning. Colossians chapter 4. Todd, you have some friends back there with you, or are you? Hugh and Wendy, is that right? Great. We're glad. I'm Gary. Now you know we know each other. We're close. Great. Great to have you with us today. Good. Colossians chapter 4. We're always honored when folks visit with us. And we'll try to behave today since you're visiting, all right? Very good. Colossians chapter 4. Good. Throughout history, great spiritual works have been associated typically with a specific person. There's usually a leader of these great works, and that one usually gets all the limelight. Let's just test your historical knowledge. If you were to think about the great missionary movement in China, what man would you think of? Hudson Taylor. Very good. Very good. He was the leader at the forefront of that movement. If you were to think of a great orphanage work in England in the past century that housed thousands, I think, I'm not even sure the number, but thousands and thousands of orphans, who would you think of? George Mueller. Very good. If you were to think of the great missionary movement in the New Testament, and kind of who headed up that missionary movement, who would you think of? Paul. If you were to think of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and the growth and the building of this church, who would you think of? Preacher Lashley. Sure. Every work, great work, has a man typically who is a leader, and those people are in the limelight, we think of them, but the simple matter of fact is, I'm going to kill this microphone, that's a simple matter of fact, none of those people did it by themselves. Although all of those men were great, godly men, mightily used of God, none of them did the work by themselves. Now, this is a scriptural principle. Look in Ecclesiastes, I've got you in Colossians. Help yourself. See if you can find Ecclesiastes, all right? Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Oh, I could do that. I could tell you the page. It's in the old Schofield Reference Bible, page 699. There you go. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, at this point, if you're still looking, just act like you found it, and that'll be fine. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. So he said, look, it's better to have two people working together than one. They can get more accomplished. Yesterday, several of you men, by the way, thank you for your help yesterday. We tore out the old railroad ties, and some of those bad boys were pretty heavy, and it took two. In fact, I don't know. I hope Jeff Roten's here today. He had to leave. He hurt his back. He probably tried to lift one by himself. Some of them needed two people. They could not be lifted by one, but when two worked together, boy, a lot could be accomplished. Now let's go back to the verse. Notice also verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What's the point? It's interesting. When the Lord sent out the disciples, sent out his followers to do work, how did he send them out? Two by two. Everyone needs someone to help them. In the work of God, it is no different. Now, we have a pastor. We have a class. We have a bus ministry. We have all kinds of things going on at the church. But you know what? None of those ministries can be carried out by one person. Can't be done. This church will not be what it ought to be if Pastor Jody is the only one doing work. Can't be done. It won't happen. We all need to band together to get the job done. Now, the Apostle Paul was probably, I guess, humanly speaking, the greatest missionary of all time. God used him in a mighty way to start churches, to start the modern, to start the, not the modern, the missionary movement in Acts. But did Paul do it by himself? In fact, Paul had all kinds of guys that helped him. Wouldn't it be neat? Now, we know a lot about Paul. Wouldn't it be neat if we could meet the men who helped Paul? What kind of men were they? Were they gifted men? Did they have specific talents? Where did they come from? How did they get involved with Paul? I think that'd be pretty neat, wouldn't you? In the same way, I think it'd be interesting to go back and study the men who helped George Mueller and the women who helped George Mueller and the men and the women that helped Hudson Taylor. Now, we come to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, and we find a passage that tells us exactly who helped the Apostle Paul. Now, if you're like me and you read through the Bible, you get to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, and you fly through those verses and you think, who cares? But I tell you what, folks, there's some great stuff to learn here about these people, because none of these people were in the limelight, but all of them helped the Apostle Paul do the job that he did. Humanly speaking, the Apostle Paul would never have accomplished what he accomplished without these helpers. Now, as our pastor says, in the same way, okay, our pastor and the leaders of our church would never be able to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish without you. Now the question is going to be, as we proceed through this passage over the next several weeks, the question is going to be, if Pastor Jody was writing a letter, now I'm not saying he's the Apostle Paul, you understand that, but I'm trying to apply it to our situation here. If he were writing the letter to a sister church some distance away, and he was listing all the people that helped him in the ministry, would your name be there? Would he say, and I want you to remember old George. George has helped me in my labors. He stood by me through thick and thin, and he's held me up, and because of George, I've made it. By the way, speaking of holding up, another great Old Testament story that illustrates the same truth is the name. Who was the man who led Israel out of captivity? Moses. Who got the limelight? Moses. What a guy. But there came a day when they were fighting the Amalekites, and God said, look, Moses, you go up on the mountain and you hold up your arms, and as long as your arms are held up, we're going to win the battle. But if your arms come down, we're in trouble. And he had two helpers. One of them I want to preach a sermon on someday. The title of the sermon will be A Man Named Hur. Wouldn't that be a great title for a message? A man named Her. Two guys, Aaron and Her. And what was their job? When his arms got tired, he'd hold up the arms. Wow, what a great truth. Now, I had intended to really fly today, and I got stuck on this first guy. And we're going to look at here, and we'll just read verse 7 and 8, Colossians chapter 4. I'd like to figure out what's wrong with my microphone. Anybody have any ideas? Static, that's exactly right. Rush. All right, verse 7. All my state shall, here he is, here's our guy we're going to talk about today. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Now, let's stop for a minute. When you think of great men of the Bible who accomplished great things for God, this is probably the first guy you think of, isn't it? Tychicus. How many of you, out of respect for Tychicus, probably some of you have named your children. Anybody name their children Tychicus? Maybe Tick Me Off. Maybe that's the name of your children. Tychicus. No. And yet here he is in Scripture. He gets two verses. Now he's mentioned five times in the New Testament, but here he is. And my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now, we learned some great things about him just in this verse, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute, because I want to go to Acts chapter 20, and this is the first mention we have of this guy named Tychicus. Acts chapter 20, and verse 4. Now, let me give you the setting. The Apostle Paul, this is the end of his third missionary journey. And as you know, the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers weren't doing too well as far as getting along. Okay? And the Apostle Paul wanted to do something to kind of help them. Now, there was a great need in Jerusalem. And so he'd gone to all the churches of Macedonia, made up of Gentile believers. And he had taken up an offering. And he was going to take that offering back to Jerusalem, travel all the way from Asia Minor, all the way back to Jerusalem, and present that offering. And he also thought, you know what, if I could take some Gentile believers with me that would travel with me and go to Jerusalem, and then these Jewish believers could meet them and they could be friends, you know, help bridge this gap. So here we are, Acts chapter 20, verse 4, and there accompanied him into Asia a guy named Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, here he is, our man, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Now, Tychicus, we think, is probably from Ephesus. All right? Asia Minor. Now, Paul comes on the scene, he says, hey, guys, I'd like to take you all with me, okay? Now, what did that entail? They went down to the Ephesus airport, jumped on the airplane. You know, we'll be gone a couple hours, guys. You know, maybe a day. We'll stay overnight. I'll put you up in the Jerusalem Hilton. And then, you know, we'll visit the Gentile, the people there. We'll come on back. I'll send you back first class. You know, your family can get to the airport, right? That's how we would do it. Well, maybe not the Hilton, but that's not how they did it. Now, think of what was asked of Tychicus. Number one, he had to leave his family, had to leave everything that he knew, had to travel over dangerous roads, didn't know how long it was going to be, didn't know when he would see his family again. Going to go to some people that may like him and may not like him. And so Tychicus packs his bags, and they head out, and they travel toward Jerusalem. Here's a man who's willing to pay the price to help the Apostle Paul. You know, and again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself when we get to his description, but you will never help the man of God if you're not willing to sacrifice for the work of God. You know, we're pretty good about serving God if it doesn't cost much. You know. In fact, when push comes to shove, we'd probably rather give our money than our time and our talents. And here's a man that's named Tychicus, and when he's looking for volunteers to go, he said, oh, count me. Count me. I'll go. I'll go. Now, the next time we find him, we find Tychicus, the next mention of him, we find Paul in his first Roman imprisonment. Now, as you know, this was kind of a house arrest. He couldn't go anywhere, obviously. He was under arrest. But it wasn't in a dungeon necessarily. It was in a house. He couldn't go. People could come and go. And while he was there, he wrote some books, wrote some letters. They became books to us. He wrote, in fact, this very book of Colossians. He wrote the letter to the people at Colossae. He wrote another book, probably a generic letter to a group of people in Ephesians, in Ephesus or Laodicea. We call that book today the book of Ephesians. And he wrote these books while he was there. He's there and he's in prison. And guess who's with him? Old Tychicus. Now, we don't know. Probably 4 years has passed. And Tychicus is still with him. Now, Paul has been arrested. By the way, does it help your reputation to hang around with people who've been arrested? Not really. Not really. In fact, you can put you in a rather dangerous position yourself. And here Tychicus is, and Paul's been arrested. He's been taken to Rome. And Tychicus is still right there with him, still faithful, still sticking with it, still helping the man of God in his problems. Now, I want you to see the third one. Turn to Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. Titus, a few pages to the right. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. And we find Paul in his second or last imprisonment. He is in Rome again now. He's in a dungeon. He's going to die in that prison, we think. And here he is in Titus 3:12, and he says, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Now, here we are again. We've gone through one Roman imprisonment. Tychicus stayed with him. He got out. He's in prison again. He's gone through all those trials, the shipwrecks with all the terrible things. And he's back in prison in Rome. And guess who's still there? Good old Tychicus. Still with God's man. Still holding up his arms. Still doing what God had called him to do. Wow. Now, let's think about his ministry back in Colossians chapter 3, or 4. Colossians chapter 4. And I want to look now in verse 7, and you know a little bit about him now. Now look at his description. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother. Now, what does that mean? Was this his physical brother? No, he was a brother in Christ. Brother in Christ. Tychicus was a man who probably during Paul's 3-year ministry in Ephesus heard the gospel, heard that he needed to be saved, and he trusted Christ. You know, we often say, you will never be saved until you realize that you're lost. It was interesting, we visited a couple who visited here last week, and they wanted to talk about everything except their salvation. We were there, I guess, an hour and a half. And his comment was, I said, well, look, Bill, let me just ask you. I finally butted in. if you were to die, do you know you'd go to heaven? He said, oh, I think I would. I said, really? I said, how do you know? He said, you know, now remember, if you were here last week, I taught on salvation and the Ten Commandments, and then Pastor did the same thing. The guy heard this twice. He said, well, I really haven't done that much bad. I thought, were you asleep? He wasn't, because he remembered the fur coat. He asked my wife where the fur coat was. So he got that much out of the lesson anyway. And I thought, what? What's the problem? Well, he's spiritually dead. Doesn't understand. You know, before Tychicus ever became a child of God, he had to realize he was not a child of God. He had to realize he was a sinner without Christ, and that Christ came to save him. And there was one day that Tychicus, by faith, turned to Christ, placed his faith in what Christ did on the cross. He became a child of God. And if you're a child of God, Nick, and I'm a child of God, guess what? We brothers. That's right. And that makes, if you're a believer here today, if you're a child of God, guess what? We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that's an amazing thing. I often rejoice when I meet people whom I've never met in my whole life, and they're children of God. They've been born again, and it's like you've known them forever. And you can sit there and you can talk to them. Why is that? Well, because we're spiritually related. So here Tychicus is, he is a, by the way, he's not just a brother. Okay? He's a beloved brother. He's the one that Paul loves. Paul loves this man. And look at the other descriptions given here. And you've already seen this. And a faithful minister. A faithful minister. Tychicus joined up in Ephesus, and he stayed with him through the first imprisonment. He stayed with him on the way to Jerusalem. He stayed with him through the last imprisonment, and may have even been there when he died. Wow. Here's a faithful guy. He just kept on going. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found successful. That a man be found in the limelight, getting all the credit, right? No. That a man be found faithful in his ministry. And Tychicus was a man that said, Paul, I am going to serve God and serve you all of my days. And I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to, when it's easy, I'm going to be faithful. When it's hard, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to keep going. Wow. Isn't that the kind of guy you want around you? Not a fair weather friend, but a man who was faithful. He was there. He was going. Now, what was he doing? Well, let's look at the passage. In verse 7, and all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Now, remember, I mentioned Paul wrote some letters to these churches. How are they going to get there? Oh, send them through the mail. Paul couldn't take them. Somebody is going to have to take these letters. Now, here's the amazing thing about them. You just think, well, they're just letters. They're also included in the canon of Scripture. Okay, they are the Word of God. They were inspired of God. Now, who are you going to trust that to? Now, remember, he's in Rome. Now, that means to get to Colossae or Ephesus or Laodicea, he's going to have to walk across Italy, or travel across Italy somehow. He's going to have to get across the Adriatic Sea, which is no piece of cake. He was going to have to cross Greece, travel about 100 miles up through the difficult canyons and the river canyons all the way up to these cities and take the letters. Who's going to do that? You think you'd want someone you could trust? And who did Paul choose? Tychicus. What if Tychicus had gotten halfway there and said, you know what, this is a bummer. I forget this. These are stupid letters anyway. I'm just going to throw them and burn them. You didn't realize you owed him so much, did you? Now, I mean, I have been delighted by our study of the book of Colossians. Well, you know why we have Colossians today? Because of Tychicus. If he hadn't been faithful... I mean, again, I'm speaking humanly speaking, obviously. This guy was a faithful guy. And he said, I'm going to send him to you, and he's going to tell you about my situation, and he's going to declare all my state to you, and he's going to carry these letters. By the way, it's interesting. He carried, I think, probably three letters. One was the book of Colossians, which we've been studying for 6 months or so. One was, turned out, has been called the book of Ephesians. Now, again, we think that was probably written to the churches because he said, hey, when you get these things, hand them off to each other, share them, of course. A general letter. There was another letter that he sent, which is a very important letter. And This letter was about a guy who was going to travel back with him when he went back to Colossae. What letter was that? Who was that man's name? It's in our text, by the way. Little hint. We're going to study him next week. Onesimus. And he carried a letter to Onesimus' master, whose name was? Philemon. And that's called the Book of Philemon. Wow, what a faithful messenger. But that's not it. We're not done yet. Turn back to Titus. Back to Titus. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, Titus was the pastor of the church on the island of Crete. He was a faithful pastor. He was one of the men who was very close to Paul, probably trained by Paul, pastoring a church. Who would the other man have been who was very close to Paul in the ministry? Timothy. Yeah, so we've got Timothy, we've got Titus. Titus is pastoring this church. And in chapter 3 and verse 12, we find out that he says, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus. Now, we really don't know which one went. But he says, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. So he says, you know, Titus, I really want you here, man. You mean a lot to me. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send either Artemas or Tychicus to you. And what are they going to do? What's their job going to be? Well, what did I say Titus was? He was a pastor of a church. And I believe he was saying, look, I'm going to send one of these guys to you, and they're going to take care of your church while you're gone. That's pretty impressive for a guy who's just a messenger, isn't it? Now, there's another one. Look in 2 Timothy 4:12. This one's a little clearer. Here Paul is, again, end of his life, verse 7, he says, I fought a good fight, finished my course. Boy, it's a crown of righteousness, it's going to be a short time. He's writing to Timothy in verse 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. Now, when Timothy comes, what's going to happen to the church? Well, let's read on. For Demas hath forsaken me. We'll study him in a couple weeks too. Having loved this present world and is departing to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Why was he going there? I think he was going there to fill the pulpit. Because he was a faithful man. You know what Tychicus did, folks? Whatever Paul wanted him to do. You know what men of God who are leading ministries at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church need? They need people who will just say, hey, you know what? You tell me what to do. Bang, I'm on it. I'm on it. Now, go back to Colossians, and I want to look at one more word, one more description, and this kind of sums it up for us here. I've already talked about the beloved brother, the faithful minister, and there's one more. What's the last one? Last description. Fellow servant. We like that word servant. You know what the word really is? Slave. Fellow slave. You know why God entrusted Tychicus with carrying the message, with filling in these churches? Because you know what Tychicus said is, look, I'm just a slave here to serve God. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Slave has no rights. He just says, Master, you tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. That's my job. And you know what, folks? As believers, every one of us is called to be a servant or a slave of Christ. We're to be like Christ. We're to follow his example. And when Jesus Christ came in Philippians chapter 2, folks, it said he took upon him the form of a servant or slave and was made in the likeness of man. A slave. And Jesus said, you know, I came to not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Friday, I drove the people mover and drove some of our senior citizens to North Carolina over to Shatley Springs. and had a good time. And one of the things we did, we stopped at several of these churches there in West Jefferson and Glendale Springs, I think. And there's a couple churches there that have some frescoes that have been painted there. And they're kind of famous in that neighborhood. And so we went to see them. And one of them is of the Last Supper. And it's not the typical Last Supper where they're eating. This is when they're kind of done and they're kind of departing. And in one corner, you push a button and you hear this description of everything. And the guy said, and on the right side, you see the pot and the bowl that Jesus used to wash the disciples' feet. And what was the whole point of that? Here, the Lord of glory, the God of the universe, is kneeling down and he's cleaning his disciples' feet. What an example of servitude. And you know, in the Old Testament, there is a passage about a servant who has the freedom to leave his master, but he says, "Master, I love you so much that I just want to stay here and serve you with my heart and my life." And they say they would take him to the doorpost, and they would put his ear on the doorpost, and they would put a hole in his ear with an awl, showing that he was an indentured servant, that he was one that said, "You know what? I am going to serve my master because I love him. I know I'm free. I know I don't have to, but I'm going to do it." Now look, believers, that's what God wants you to be and me to be. When you think of Tychicus, I want you to think of a man with a servant's heart. What did he do? Whatever Paul told him to do. A servant's heart. Not a man in the limelight. Not necessarily a great leader in the church. But he was a fellow laborer and fellow servant. Let me ask you a question. Could we take these words, this description of Tychicus here, number one, a beloved brother, are you a child of God? I believe probably most here would confess that you are, if not all would say that. But would Paul call you a faithful minister? Faithfully doing whatever God wanted you to do? It's interesting, last couple weeks ago, I was involved with the funeral for Larry's father-in-law. And he was a lay pastor, worked secular job, but also pastored churches. And during one section, he was a faithful member at Heritage. And Dot Phillips was here, and you met her last week. And she said, the Curtis says, you want to get something done, call them. Let me ask you a question. If Pastor Jody wanted to get something done at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and he said, you know what, I need a faithful person who I know if I ask them to do this, they will do it. Would he call you? Would your name even come across his mind? Kind of convicting, isn't it? Folks, this man Tychicus was a faithful minister. And then the last one. A fellow servant. You see, I opened up by talking about Paul writing this letter and mentioning all these people that helped him. And if Pastor Jody would write a letter and say, hey, I want you to know about this guy. I mean, this guy, Ed Perkins, he is a faithful servant. Would he say that about you? Are you faithfully doing what God wants you to do at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Let me just stop for a moment. Do you realize if you're a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, God has something for you to do here? I believe that with all my heart. God placed you in the church for a ministry. Now, we're glad to have you. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say, look, if you don't have a ministry, don't come back. Okay? We're glad to have you, folks. But there's something for you to do. You say, well, I want the limelight. If I don't get the limelight, I'm not going to do it. You're not a servant. A servant doesn't care. You know, in fact, it's interesting. When a servant does what they're supposed to do, and the people come up and say, oh, that was wonderful. You are great. And what does he say? I'm just doing my duty. Just doing my duty. Boy, this guy, his life convicts me. Boy, it convicts me. We need to be like Tychicus, folks. Be faithful ministers. Fellow slaves. Working together, doing whatever is asked. And by the way, many of you do that very well. But we can all do better. Hallelujah, I can do better, I hope. Are you like Tychicus? Now here's a man that you've probably heard of in the past. You may have. You may have even been able to say his name. But you probably didn't know anything about him. No limelight, no glory. But I dare to say without Tychicus, Paul's ministry would have been hindered. Now, are you helping or hindering at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Well, the Lord has given to me the ministry of... I have spiritual insight into things, and I have the ministry of criticism, and I'm able to sit back and see all the things wrong with the church. Go down to the Methodist church. I mean, isn't it a shame that we have people like that? And all we can do is sit back and say, you know what? That wall they built yesterday, it's got a little bow in the middle, and that was pretty tacky. Well, where were you yesterday? I've made up a rule. Here's the Seaman rule. If you're not involved doing something, don't criticize anything. Now, if you were out working on that wall yesterday, some of you guys were, if you want to criticize how it was done, go ahead. You did it. I mean, it's your fault. What's the point? We need to be like Tychicus, folks. I want you to remember that name. A beloved brother. A faithful minister. A fellow servant. Wow. Wow. That's what God wants you to be. That's what God wants me to be. If you're convicted right now, I ask you to pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to minister? And then, hallelujah, jump in and do it. Jump in and do it and be what God wants you to be. Be like Tychicus. All right? Good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this man's life. My, what a challenge it's been to me. When I first looked at this passage, I thought, what in the world? And yet here's a man who was faithful, a faithful minister, a fellow servant, a man who served you and did your work and really were indebted to for the great work he did and how he helped Paul and how he helped minister. Now, Lord, I love these folks, and they're your children. They're members of this class. And, Lord, I know I've said some hard things today, but God, we need to be reminded that we need to be serving you and ministering in this place. And God, instead of allowing us to rebel and get upset, help us, Lord, to say, oh God, what can I do? How can I minister? How can I serve? And help us to be fellow servants and faithful ministers in this place, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.